Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, February 22nd, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in Bill's story. We're on page 5. We're going to read two paragraphs this morning, beginning with, gradually things got worse, ending with, that chance vanished. We're going to read and comment on both of those paragraphs this morning. Today's readers are Sherry Z. She'll be reading the text. Lois P. will be reading page 164. And Kara L. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Sherry M. And announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, February 21st, 2024, is 21,159 or 21159, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,161 or 21161. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Lisa W. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. I'm Lisa W. from California, a compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact natures of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa W., and I will now ask Patty F. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, this is Patty F. in Massachusetts, the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Patty F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in Bill's story. We're on page 5. The second full paragraph, beginning with, gradually things got worse. We're going to read 2 paragraphs, and we're going to end with, that chance vanished. We're reading and commenting on both of those paragraphs this morning. And I will now ask Sherry Z to please begin reading.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service, and good morning, visionaries. So grateful to be here with all of you. And we are on page 5 in Bill's story. Gradually, things got worse. The house was taken over by the mortgage holder. My mother-in-law died. My wife and father-in-law became ill. Then I got a promising business opportunity. Stocks were at a low point of 1932, and I had somehow formed a group to buy. I was to share generously in the profits. Then I went on a prodigious bender, and that chance vanished. Again, Sherry Z in Southern California. So I read this, and I'm struck by the word gradually, but what I really see is things happen. Life gets very lifey. The house was taken over. Mother-in-law died. Father-in-law became ill. Those were all my rationalizations to eat. I deserve to eat. I deserve it. My mother-in-law died. My father-in-law is ill. I had 100 reasons, and society affirmed it. They're like, you eat whatever you want now, sweetie. Your mother just died. Your father just died. And no sooner would I do that than I would go searching again for that external validation, for people to say, you're good enough, you're good enough. And so I would start hunting for a way to be loved, because I felt sad and I felt all these feelings. And if I just ate, it would take them away until it didn't. So for me, this is a lot about what I thought I deserved. And what I deserve today is God's love. I deserve the gift of really feeling that I matter in this world. And when it said, you know, I went on a prodigious bender, it did remind me of when I started to sabotage opportunities towards the end. Like, I didn't even care anymore. It was like God was sending life preservers to me, and I was still sabotaging them and throwing things in the way because the disease had gotten so severe. And for today, The promising opportunity is living in recovery one day at a time. And that means literally surrendering everything over. And I just want to say one more thing. I used to spend hours in meetings and with my sponsor for years, for 30 plus years in the room, complaining about my life, my husband, my this, my that, and why I slipped and why it was okay. And today I don't do any of that. Today I understand that life is lifey. God's in charge. I work at 10, 11, and 12. And I say, it's not up to me. And for that, I am incredibly grateful, and I look forward to hearing all of you share.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry B. All right, we're now going to open the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday on any Vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your shares to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. And when you hear the timer, please finish up promptly. All right, I'm going to get the first lineup. If you could please give your first name, last initial, where you're calling from.
Wendy M.
I got you, Wendy.
Bruce E.
Okay, got you, Bruce.
Sherry H.M.
I think I heard Sherry H.M. And do we have anyone else who wants to get in on this first lineup? Okay, we'll start there. I've got Wendy M., Bruce E., Sherry H.M. Please let us know where you're calling from, and Wendy, you're up first.
Good morning. Yeah, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Stephanie, thank you so much for your service. I continue to identify in with Bill. And it says here, gradually things got worse. And my response to that is, thank God. Thank God it got worse. Because if I'm in the disease, if I'm using, I need things to get really bad because it's not going to catch my attention. God catches my attention when things get worse. God catches my attention when I am itchy and scratchy. God gets my attention when things are getting worse. And thank God they're getting worse. Thank God they got worse. Because that was the only way I was going to actually say to my sponsor 6 months ago, you know what, I've got nothing, and I'm going to do whatever you say. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. And that's what happened 6 months ago. I heard this person on one of the podcasts, and I said, I want what she has, so I'm going to do what she does. And it was the greatest relief. It truly was. I mean, I've been in the program 23 years, but I didn't take it seriously, right? I didn't say to myself, my life is totally unmanageable by me, and I need help, and I need things to get worse. And I'm so glad my life got so unmanageable that I was willing to say, whatever you got. Like she said, these are the requirements. These are the things you're going to do. And I said, oh, it doesn't really matter. That's not totally true. I did say, wait a minute, that looks like a lot. And then I said, oh, I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. I can no longer run the show. I can no longer be the author of my food or the author of my life. I can't. I've got to do what this person is telling me to do. And I got to tell you, I get so much freedom today knowing that there are requirements. And the reason I do them, the reason I call all of you, the reason I get on the line, all of it, the 11-step, you know, the nightly review, is because it gives me freedom. You know, I go to the store today for the bananas because it gives me freedom, because it's not me. I fired Wendy and I hired God. And thank God things got worse. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Next up, Bruce E., followed by Sherry H. M.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's Bruce E. I'm down, way down in Southwest Florida, and I'm in Fort Myers, Florida. I'm recovered. I'm very, very grateful. I'm grateful that things really did get worse. Yeah. Things got worse. As long as I was in the addiction, as long as I was practicing the compulsion, things always got worse. And I agree with what I've heard earlier. I'm grateful now that things got worse. At the time, I wasn't too grateful. But I'm grateful now because it brought me right in, finally, into this program. And I've been homeless a number of times in my life, and I was homeless off and on for about a year there, maybe, and different things. And I'm walking down the railroad tracks, and I've been blessed. I got a nice home now, or a nice place to live until my home gets repaired on the island out here, and it'll be repaired in a month or two. I'll be back, and I had a nice home to move back to, and I got a nice place where I'm living now. But I was homeless then, and I'm walking down the tracks, and I see I needed a place to sleep, so I see a rowboat that had been turned over. So that it didn't collect water inside of it. And I turned the rowboat over and slept underneath it all night. And, did I get into a program then? Did I ask for help then? No, I didn't. Things had to get worse. And they did. And sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, sometimes it happened quick, sometimes it's slow, but gradually things got worse. And worse and worse and worse until finally I was ready to say, man, I need help. I got to get some help. And I came into this program and I asked for help. I called a guy. I asked him to help me. He said, call me back. We're going to be reading this big book. We're going to be reading The Doctor's Opinion. So Bill here is, and I got recovered, but Bill is, he looked at it. He was going to do a big promising business deal. It fell apart because he went on a prestigious bender and a chance vanished. So he lost that opportunity. Why did he do that? Because he was an alcoholic and he had triggered the allergy. So the allergy comes first, the drinking, then the allergy is created, then the phenomenon of craving, and then the obsession and the compulsion. So the obsession and compulsion brought him right back into alcoholism, and even though he had a good thing going for him. And I blew many deals in my life that way, too. So I hear somebody there. I'm here. Anyway, I pass. That's it for me. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. And Sherry H.M., you're up next. Please let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you. This is Sherry H.M., gratefully recovered and calling from Mount Vernon, Washington State. Boy, this is a great reminder of this disease. It's permanent, progressive, and fatal. And it's easy to think, oh, no, it's not fatal. Oh, whatever. But it is suicide, like suicide by fork. It's just a reminder of my story, too, that I had so many health problems. And what really was the final straw was that I had like a $2,500 out-of-pocket bill for health, for a colonoscopy or something. And I kept thinking, okay, I'm going to try another nutrition approach. I'm going to try it one last time. Then I remembered my friends in Al-Anon had told me about OA. So I sat down with one of them who'd been in the program for, 25 years or whatever, kept off 55 pounds. And she told me her experience, strength, and hope in her story. And then I drove home from Starbucks and I just you know, put my hands up in the air, so to speak, not really, right? And anyway, and just pray, God, please, you got to help me. I can't do this. So I'm so grateful for the program because, you know, on page 98, it says, you know, we continue, job or no job, wife or no wife. I'm thinking, you know, pandemic or tumultuous relationships, whatever's going on in our lives, that we have to deal, or I have to deal with that emotional buildup. Because if I don't deal with that, it goes off like a volcano, and that gets me right into the arms of my refrigerator. And so I don't want to do that anymore. And this program does work. It really does. And it's worked for, I don't even know, hundreds, thousands of people. And it's just amazing. I'm so, so grateful for all you guys. And keep on keeping on. And I thank you so much for your service. And I pass.
Oh, thank you so much. Sherry H.M. from Washington State. And if you just joined us, let me fill you in on where we're at. We're in Bill's story on page 5. We read two paragraphs this morning. We started with the second full paragraph. Gradually things got worse, and finished with, and that chance vanished. So we're sharing on those two paragraphs this morning, and I can get another lineup. Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Liz A., Southern California.
I got you, Liz. Thank you. Who
Robin
else would
A.
I share?
Robin
Is that
A.
Robin A?
Yes.
Okay. And where are you calling from, Robin?
Los Angeles.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Julie G. from Massachusetts.
Got you, Julie. Thank you.
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Got it.
Okay.
Russell S. from Arizona.
I got you, Russell S. Was that S?
S is in Sam.
Got you. All right. Thank you. All right, anyone else? All right, I think we got a good list going. I've got Liz A., Robin A., Julie G., Joan Marie M., and Russell S., and Liz, you're up first, followed by Robin A.
Good morning. My name is Liz A., and I am from Los Angeles. Thank you for your service, Stephanie, and thank you all for your shares. I just really identify in. You know, when I read Gradually Things Got Worse, for me what that meant was that my world became smaller and smaller and smaller. I started depending on my husband to do things for me because I was checked out. And I was like in this prison, and the walls kept coming in and coming in. And yeah, opportunities came up to come out of that, to, you know, become a part of, to expand my life. But I would self-sabotage. And that's because I hated myself. You know, I would like say I would be somewhere and then I would call in fat. You know, the news for me is I am just so big. I don't want anyone to see me. I am ashamed, and things got worse and worse. And, you know, thank God, because it gave me the gift of desperation. And if I wasn't desperate, I just would not have been able to do this thing. You know, like the big book says, you know, the giving up of our ego and doing all these things. I mean, it's just not natural for me. It's just not natural for me to depend, to be a part of, to give up what I want to do. because I do what I want to do. And I had to get there, you know. And so when people say to me, I don't know why I keep relapsing, you have to get there, whatever it takes. You know, I relapsed and relapsed and relapsed, and it wasn't until my world got so small that I couldn't breathe anymore that I finally, you know, turned in my towel. And I just hope that you all get there. And if you're new, just keep coming back. Just keep doing this thing until you hit your bottom. And with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Liz A. from California. Next up, Robin A., followed by Julie G.
I'm sorry, I need to pass to Julie G. I realized it was Tuesday that I shared, so thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you, Robin. Thank you. All right, Julie G., you're up next, followed by Joan Marie M.
Good morning, this is Julie A. G. from Massachusetts. I thank you for everyone's service, such a blessing. And it's great to be here. And yes, I was at a point of desperation when my sick and tired was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I had a friend, I just moved back home to Massachusetts, and I had a friend that I kept in touch with. And she kept, you know, telling me about, you know, different meetings, you know, they were all on Zoom now. So, you know, I wouldn't have to worry about trying to get there and on the phone. And, you know, I was just kind of, yeah, I'm going to do it. But boy, when that desperation really hit bottom, I was like, what's that ID number again? And sure enough, that night, I think I got on Scottsdale meeting, and that same night, I got a sponsor, and the next day we talked, and I did. I just said yes to everything she asked me to do, and she was just like shocked. She was like, wow, you just say yes to everything, because I was that desperate. I didn't have any other choice. I got physical health issues. I could hardly walk, you know, lots of stuff going on, and the weight was kicking my butt, and I needed to keep my mind focused, and it's been a blessing ever since. And I thank God for OA and thank God for my sponsor and all of you that do service. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Julie G. from Massachusetts. Next up, Joan Marie M., followed by Russell S.
Good morning. Joan Marie M., recovered in Nevada by the grace and mercy of God. Well, gradually it says things got worse, but at the time I didn't realize that. It should have been, it says to me now, certainly things got worse, and life gets lifey. And there were the things that I ate over. I didn't know what to do with these emotions. And now the nightly review, doing all the things that I did and continue to do, keep me in that sane mind. And I just wrote about, there's so many phases that are short but power-packed. One, life gets lively no matter what. Why does it matter? Let go, let God. When I was sick and tired enough, and I had enough pain and desperation, and I cried out to the God of my understanding, I can't do this anymore. I need help. Then I was listening to a vision for a couple weeks before that. Then I called and got a sponsor, went through the steps, and there was a lot of work. But I was willing, and I was desperate, and I would do anything that she said. And it was all recovery, what she said and required of me. And then I began to sponsor myself. And it was the beginning of sponsoring for me. I hadn't sponsored for a long, long, long time. And I would get disappointed when people, you know. But now it's like, okay, let go, let God. You planted seeds, see where they grow. So with that, I pass. God bless everybody. Have a beautiful, blessed day. Bye.
Well, thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Next, we have Russell S.
Morning, all. Thanks for being on here, and thanks for serving. Thanks for being here. Right now, I want to be anywhere but where I am. Probably, I don't know, it's probably who I am. I can't even get over to a friend's house in California because I just feel that I'm not sure I should even be there, because why am I going? I'm not even sure. And I'm having a hard time with it. And the only thing that's saving me right now is this recovery, is turning to God and turning to God every morning on my knees for direction. This problem of overeating has been my worst problem. And I had other problems with it. I was in other fellowships for. And once I stopped using or being compulsive in those areas, this showed up. It was always there, but it's just gotten worse, and I just feel like my life is on hold or ending, except for getting through this. If I can get through this, hopefully something will be on the better will be on the other side. So I'm doing what my sponsor said and says, and pretty much getting on my knees every day, and pretty much trying to get through to God every day and do what He says. And I'm grateful that I've got a home. I'm grateful that I've got friends and OA and the group. So the only thing that's going to help me is gratitude and God, I think. So I think for right now, that's all I've got to say. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Russell S., and we're so glad you're here. All right, we can take some more names. Please, if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please give others the opportunity to share today. And please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Hi, what was the reading, please?
We're in Bill's story, page 5, 2 paragraphs. Second full paragraph, gradually things got worse, ending with, and that chance vanished. So those two paragraphs. Sure.
Dory P., Georgia.
Was that Dory?
Yes.
Dory P., okay, gotcha, Dory.
Vicky P.,
Pennsylvania. I think I heard Vicky T., yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right, hey, Vicky, all right.
Linda P.
Linda P., got ya.
Jerry K., Pennsylvania.
Jerry K., got ya. We might be able to get one more in there. All right, well, we'll go with these four. I've got Dory P., Vicky T., Linda P., Jerry K. Dory, you're up first, followed by Vicky T.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie, and for everyone behind the scenes. Dory P., recovered, grateful in Georgia. And this gradually, and thank you for everyone's shares, go straight to my heart. The gradually, I don't know how Bill was with it, if he knew back then or just looking back and writing this, he realized that things were getting worse. I was like, the frog in the warm water. Nothing wrong here. This is actually very nice. Using food for excitement and then for consolation and then for survival. And the pot was getting hotter, but I didn't really notice. I was uncomfortable with all the extra weight, but I didn't see any problem. But this morning I was thinking, what does this tell me now? What is the message of this now in recovery? And do I have now the ability to see when things get gradually get worse. If my food gets, you know, a little wobbly, like I'm a little pregnant, right? I'm not all the way pregnant, so it's just a little wobbly. Or if I ran out of the door without praying, as my sponsor says, without your underwear on. Or if I've been nursing this resentment just a little longer, getting just a little bit of control and managing and martyring out of it instead of turning it over. So can I now, with guys' guidance, see when things get gradually worse so I can course correct? That's what the steps tell me, 10, 11, and 12. So pray to God I can. and that, with that, I'll pass. Have a wonderful day.
Oh, thank you so much, Dory P. from Georgia. Next, followed by Linda P.
Hi, Stephanie. Thank you for your service, and thanks, everybody on the line. My name is Vicki T., and I'm in Florida. And what I thought about with graduate things got worse. My life before recovery, I mean, I didn't know what I didn't know. I guess I thought I was okay. I mean, obviously, I saw that I would have opportunities in life, went to a good college and thought, you know, there was promise, there was hope. But that's when everything kind of hit the fan. And like it says in the book, the chance vanished. I was just in full force and with the food, just completely in full force, just obsessed with eating it, not eating it, getting rid of it, not getting rid of it. You know, I remember one time walking on campus and one of my professors stopped me and he said, "Oh my God, didn't I see you jogging 2 weeks ago? What happened to you?" I gained that much weight in 2 weeks. It's pretty scary. So my life now, and I'm like, Vicki, you're going to sound like those people that you used to hear on Vision for You when your eyes would roll. When I first came on Vision for You, I would hear all this Pollyanna with God and how great their lives were. And I'd be like, come on, are you serious, really? And that's how I feel now. I just cannot believe that I was running my life. What was I doing? Obviously, I was just messing everything up that could be messed up and that even stuff that couldn't be messed up. And my life is just, my hour with God in the morning is like, it's like having like, I don't even know. I've never had a Red Bull, but I'm sure there's a lot of caffeine in there. Like, that's how it feels. It's just such a shot. It's just such a shot, and it's continuing and it's progressing. And I was reading something in my spiritual literature this morning that read, spiritual progress does not get me sober. Spiritual progress keeps me sober. So that's my goal in life today. My goal in life is not to be the thinnest and the prettiest. I mean, even though that would be nice, but it's more so, how close can I get to God and how can I share this? And the other thing is, I was on the phone with the sponsee last night. I was tired and I was like, oh, you know, wouldn't it be so much nicer to watch Netflix with my husband? And I got off the phone with the sponsee and I said, I'm insured immunity. And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, this is inconvenient and I'm tired. And I'm told that the more inconvenient and the more tired I am when I'm sponsoring, the better off it is for me. So I feel good going to bed tonight. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Vicki T. from Florida. Next up, Linda P., followed by Jerry K.
Hi there. This is Linda P., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, driving carefully. I hope you can hear well enough. If not, just let me know. Thank you, Stephanie, and thanks, everybody. It's been a really good meeting. And like others, what struck me was the gradual, you know, that gradual downhill journey. And definitely felt that before I came in. I mean, that's why I came in. However, I think my disease really progressed over the years, when I first came in, I had a good solid, I believe it was a little over 8 years, six, I don't know exactly, but something like that, of solid abstinence, good recovery. I had a relapse. And then after that, it was back and forth, not always like, you know, sometimes it was 3 years, 1 year, 30 days, 5 days, you know, it was like that over the course of many years. And that's where my story got so much worse, where the binges were just devastating. And all of those things that I thought I wouldn't do, I did. And it was just baffling to me that I could be in recovery and my disease could be getting worse, because I never stopped going to meetings, thankfully. And this last time, I felt, you know, I had the physical downhill spiral, I was very, very aware of, and even the emotional, spiritual, but I really felt I don't know, it was not very long, maybe 2 or 3 days. And the way it affected my brain, I was like, dear God, this disease is deadly. It is just deadly. And, you know, we can, I do believe that for anybody struggling that feels like, you know, I try not to use that word chronic relapser, because I think it's not true. You know, we don't have to be that, you know, we do not have to be that. And living, you know, back living in the steps is the right place for me. And I believe that recovery is progressive too, if I work it, you know, and that 10, 11, and 12 is just cool to stay for me anyways, that's to stay on board and to just know the seriousness of this disease, and also the beauty of the recovery, which I always hear on this line and I'm very grateful for. Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Linda P. Next up, Jerry K.
Hi, it's Jerry K. from Pennsylvania. What a beautiful, beautiful meeting this morning. And I, too, am so grateful that things got worse and so horrible. And I'm chuckling now, but it wasn't funny. In January of 2020, when I had a double ear infection because I had been consuming so much sugar that it started as like a yeast infection in my ears. Each ear was so infected and it became bacterial, and I was up through the night with that kind of pain, if anybody's been there, very similar to root canal pain. So on March 15th, 2020, I was blessed with abstinence. And yep, that was during the shutdown. And so vision's always been a big part of my recovery, for which I'm grateful. But back to how bad it got, I hated a company that I was doing. I'm a self-employed person, so I'm always, you know, I'm under contracts. I had come to hate this company, but I didn't really hate them. I hated myself. And as I got abstinent, you know, as abstinence was longer for me, I realized I needed to leave and do something different, which I did. But now here I am with this blessed abstinence and realizing it was never about the food. It was about how I was spiritually and morally bankrupt, even though I had decades in another program that I still go to for growing up in an alcoholic home. The disease of compulsive eating is with me always. I'm a compulsive overeater and exercise bulimic, and that's not going to change. But what's changed is that I don't wait for it to get that bad again. That icky feeling, that horrible shame that I lived in for so long, that's the disease. That's not my higher power. So if those feelings come back, I no longer eat over it, which is a miracle. I call somebody, my sponsor or a trusted program friend, and I don't stay in it like I used to. I can't stay in that worst place anymore. It doesn't feel comfortable. And it's familiar. Sadly, it's too familiar, but I just can't go there anymore. And that's through the grace of higher power, OA, and the 12 steps. So Thanks for letting me share. Again, I'm Jerry Kay in Central PA in the Harrisburg area. Bye. Pat.
Thank you, Jerry Kay. All right, we've got time for one more share. Who'd like to close us out? Who would like to take the last share today?
Letty G from Nevada.
All right, Letty, go
Hi.
For it.
Very quick. I am so grateful to this program, just like so many people on this line. Been through so many years of suffering with this disease, and almost a year now for me, abstinent, recovered woman, growing up, and very grateful. I can't express, I don't have enough words to express the gratitude I have for this program, especially Vision for you. Thank you, ladies and gents. Have a beautiful day in recovery. And I pass.
Well, thank you, Letty G. We still have time. We have time for someone to do a two-minute share. Who would like to share? Got 2 minutes.
This is Kristen from Texas.
Go for it, Kristen. You got two.
Great. Thanks. I'm Kristen. I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery today. Been a longtime listener of Vision meetings, and I love how every time I log on to a meeting, what I hear the most is that people recover as a byproduct of not what they have in themselves, but their spiritual connection with their higher power, whatever that's defined as. And that's just been a message I've heard over and over again. And I've been in recovery a long time, and it's simple, but it's not easy. We're dealing with food, something, you know, that's cunning, baffling, and powerful in a different way than alcohol. And, you know, defining the alcoholic foods and putting down the alcoholic behaviors is very challenging. And my area of struggle is just being in self-will and not pausing. I hear a lot here about surrender. I hear about pause. I hear about think. And it's just such a great reminder each day as I log on and I listen. This is the first time I've ever shared, and I'm just grateful to be here. Kristen from Texas, thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Kristen. And what was your last initial? Probably already remuted. Well, that was
yeah,
gotcha.
Kristen S., Texas.
And that was S as in Sam?
Correct.
Okay. Kristen S. from Texas. Thank you so much. And, yep, we're right there. All right. We'll now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And let's see if Lois P. could please read A Vision for You.
Absolutely, Stephanie, and thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.